Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 18. Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. This is the text. Last week we heard the first half of Matthew 18. You must be like a little child. You must think differently. You must see yourself as a small child in need of constant care from your Heavenly Father. As I said last week, this entire section of Matthew focuses on what greatness is in the kingdom of God, which he says is receiving the kingdom as a little child. For the kingdom belongs to such as these. However, these are not rules for Christian living. Jesus is not telling you that if you are humble or innocent or childlike enough, then you are worthy of the kingdom of God. Far from it. This entire section of Matthew speaks of repentance and forgiveness. The verses just prior to our reading today were Jesus' famous words, "If your brother sins against you," and Matthew uses brother as anyone who might cross your path in life. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If he will not listen, take one or two witnesses. If he still refuses to listen, then tell it to the church. If they still will not repent, then treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. In all of this, the goal of calling someone to repentance and being ready to offer forgiveness to them is for the benefit of that person. Even treating them as a pagan or a tax collector is for the purpose of waking them up. It's important to recognize that if you have issues in your relationships, if you have any negative thoughts or feelings about your brother or sister, that is, any friend or neighbor, family member, or whomever, this is caused by sin. If you talk to others about it instead of the one with whom you have the difficulty, then you are the problem. Even if the conflict did not originate with you. Jesus says, go and tell him his fault. Win back your brother. We need to recognize sin for what it is. It is something that causes us to be separated from one another. It is something that causes us to be separated from God. At the same time, we need to recognize the value of all sinners as people whom God has created and whom he has purchased with the blood of Christ. There is no one you can write off as being unimportant or unworthy of God's grace. In fact, it could be said the most unloving thing a Christian could do is to see someone wallowing in their sin or rejecting God's grace or ignoring God's grace or living in the ignorance of false beliefs concerning God, and then saying, well, you know, I don't care, that's their problem. They'll have to answer to God for themselves. Especially when that person doesn't want to hear the truth of God's word, this is when we especially are called to step up and share with them what they need to hear. The entire Christian community is meant to live together and to live and breathe and dwell around the mutual forgiveness being given by Christ through his church, loving each other from the heart as God first loved you. How many times have you sinned? And God calls you to repent, but he has not abandoned you. How many times has he called you to repent of your sin and promises, I will remember your sin no more? The joy we have in Christ is that it is numerous, continual, daily, that we are cleansed of our sin, my sin. Peter, having heard Jesus speak of the call to repentance and the steps you are to take in resolving conflict, he asks an interesting question, and one that seems rather holy and reasonable. How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? I mean, seven is the number of holiness. If my brother committed the same offense seven times, if someone sinned against me the same way seven times and asked for my forgiveness seven times and I forgive him seven times, and on the eighth time I say, you know, enough is enough, I don't care if I ever even see you again, just I'm done with you, the world would commend me for my patience and my long-suffering. Jesus says, this is what I must do 70 times 7. It seems beyond anything reasonable. The point is, God does not want us to keep track of strikes against our neighbor. If he comes in repentance, remember that sin no more. This is not promoting a blanket of forgiveness, you know, just a blanket of forgiveness for all, no matter what, saying, oh, whatever you do to me is fine. This is not a suggestion that we gloss over sin or look to those who are abusing us in one way or another and saying, oh, no, it's all fine. That's not what Jesus is saying. Sin must be recognized. Jesus is talking about your brother coming to you in repentance, asking for your forgiveness. There is no number of times large enough for when it is okay for you to just cast him aside forever and say, you know, I'm tired of you. Be gone from me. Also, this is not a license for you to spew hatred upon anyone who does not repent or repent enough or, you know, show enough remorse, whatever that would mean. Repentance and grace go together. Yet grace is not a response to anything. It really makes it challenging, I know. Grace is simply mercy that is shown to those who are undeserving. And this brings us to the parable that Jesus uses to try to explain what he's talking about. A man was brought before the king who owed the king 10,000 talents. This is the sort of debt he couldn't pay this off in 100 lifetimes. Yet he says to the king, oh, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. He's trying to pay back something that can't be paid. He's helpless. It's a hopeless situation. Rather than challenging this rather, well, bold claim that he can pay it back, rather than calling him out for being the liar and the thief that he is, you know, we see him as a scoundrel here in the parable, even before he throws his co-worker in prison over 100 denarii. Even though this man is a scoundrel, a liar, and a thief, the king simply has mercy on him and releases him from his debt. He doesn't even ask him to pay back a little. This is grace. This is the kind of mercy God has poured out onto the thieves and liars of this world, you and I. through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where the Lord has set aside the legal demands of creation. The law says Adam deserves death and hell, deserves to be separated from God eternally because of his sin. And he says the same thing about all of Adam's children. That's what the law says. That we deserve to be eternally banned from the tree of life, eternally separated from God. God has chosen to declare us righteous and holy instead. And holiness is not about doing good. Holiness is about proximity to God. You are holy because you have the right, by the grace of God, to be near him, to be in his presence, to dwell with him. That's what holiness is. It's not about doing all the right things. It's about the right, about being allowed to be close to God. Our Lord has set aside the wrath of the law of God. He has nailed it to the cross in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. I owe a debt of sin. You owe a debt of sin. It is something that we cannot pay back. It is beyond our ability. We have read in our ledger. This is a debt we couldn't repay in 1,000 lifetimes or an eternity in purgatory if there were such a place. God has declared that you and I owe him nothing because he has put a different kind of red in our ledger. Through the blood of his Son, he has given us life. When everything that speaks of justice says that I deserve death and hell. Receive this mercy. Receive this grace. Receive this with the faith of a little child. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.